From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome to the Jack and Spike Show. I'm Spike O'Neill. Jake Skorheim in for Jack Stein today. Hello, my friend.
Good to see you.
Lots to talk about today, buddy.
Thanks for having me back. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff.
Always a treat having you, man. It's a beautiful, sunny weekend projected here. 70 degrees. Nate was just telling some people right on the coast picking up beach trash.
That's nice.
That's where my wife is.
Is she really?
My wife and the ladies, the book club. I say book club in air quotes. I don't think they've ever read a single book. But they're out on the coast.
Do they just drink garbage. Wine?
They drink wine and build bonfires and talk about the troubled men in their life.
Talk about their husbands,
And that means a weekend off for me.
So you get the whole weekend to yourself?
The whole weekend to myself.
What are you going to do? You could what are you going to golf? Go ride your Harley? What are you going to do?
I'm going to not get dressed and watch movies with my dog.
Good for you.
Yeah, we have a bond, my dog and I, whenever the missus is around.
Sounds like it.
Now I got a honey as long as your arm, buddy. Let's see. Well, so let's talk about how King County is stepping in to help a couple local communities with their homeless situation. Let's talk about the local motels that have been caught being part of a human trafficking situation up in Everett. Down in SeaTac. I don't want to get that city wrong. But first, let's talk about the real news of the day, freedom. Frothy, foamy freedom. That's right. The bikini baristas in Everett have been granted permission by the city council in a unanimous decision by the Everett City Council to not require the shorts and tank top attire of your bikini barista. They will be allowed to, in a battle that's gone on for almost 15 years, they will be allowed to work in a scantily clad,
yes,
as they had been in their the height of their enticing employment situations.
So this was an interesting story. I think a lot of people, if anybody doesn't know what a bikini barista stand is, can you explain what a bikini barista stand is for anyone who's...
Sure. I guess it was about 15 years ago the first one popped up in Everett. It's a fast service, which is one of the designations of the city ordinance.
Coffee.
Fast service coffee stand. And inside that coffee stand are girls in bikinis or less sometimes. Lingerie, costumes, whatnot. Titillating, provocative attire.
Sure.
For the girls. And the ladies who work these stands make a ton of money.
Pretty good money.
Yeah.
And they do well with tips. Yeah.
And initially, there was a case against the stand that was challenged on constitutional grounds. That it was the Equal Protection Act of the Constitution said that this law, this regulation barring bikini baristas from earning their living in this fashion discriminated against women more so than men, because men wouldn't be missing this opportunity to make income at the rate that women would, so they were allowed to do this.
Yeah.
But Everett stepped in and said, we want you to wear a little more. And they said no.
Yeah, so Everett put out basically a guideline, as I understand it. They put out a guideline. They said, here's what you can wear. It would look like basically what people wear at Hooters.
Yeah, good example. Right? Shorts and tank top.
Shorts and tank top. And then 7 bikini baristas. I'm reading this story here, and you guys can check this out. I think there's a story on MyNorthWest.com about this as well. But there's 7 bikini baristas at that coffee stand, and also this chain's owner. They sued the city for $3 million.
Exactly.
And it stretched on for a really long time. They eventually settled with the city the city ended up paying them $500,000.
Yeah.
And now, you know, like you just heard, the unanimous vote that now they can wear what they were wearing. And I've never visited one of these places, but as I understand it, it is of, and I feel like I should like say there's a caveat, just, so, you know, I have a wife, I'm happily married. But these, like you were saying, they're very scantily clad.
Yes.
They were doing a lot of things at these stands that people found very objectionable. In the middle of the day, you have kids and families driving by in their cars. These are right off the road. And they were doing things that, you know, police investigated. There was lewd acts that were happening. There was flashing that was happening.
Right.
And people got arrested. So it's not like it was just a matter of clothing. It was a matter of other stuff that was happening at these stands. And then Everett basically said, like, well, how do we control this? How do we stop this from happening? You know, this other element. It's not just coffee being sold at these places. So, like, how do we protect the people of Everett from this?
Well, that's a very good description of what they found in this industry. But you're highlighting the very worst of this industry.
Laura,
when we had, who was the bikini barista we had, and was it
Selena?
Yeah. Lena.
Lena?
Lena.
Yeah.
Came in.
You guys know her well.
Well, when we, this nice young lady is, thank you, Jake. Jack would be able to tell me her name immediately because he took
it's
a real.
It's her nickname, I think.
Yeah. A stage name, shall we say?
No, her stage, what was her stage name? It was a good one. I can't.
Chablis.
No. Something like that.
Just some kind of a white wine.
It always is.
Her stage name is actually just white wine.
Boxed wine.
Boxed white wine.
You need a better club if the dancer's name boxed wine.
Oh, my name is Sauvignon Blanc.
So, my point
Bobby
being
B
this.
For yeah. short.
My point,
you're right. No, she sounds like salt of the earth. Go ahead.
Now, this was a really interesting young woman.
Yeah,
who was emboldened and empowered by her ability to use her sexuality to earn income. So the acts you're talking about, which is what we do
here every day on the air.
Exactly. Why are we any different? We just dress more slovenly, at least myself.
Yeah.
Speaking for myself.
This show, like whenever I get a chance to listen to this show, the thing that always stands out to me is like, you guys are selling sex. That's what I think about this show.
Nonstop.
This is a very sexy show, and I think your listeners understand that. So I relate, but continue with Chablis.
No, if you're missing the video feed of the show, you're missing the show.
Yeah.
I have to say that.
Yeah.
Check out the Jack and Spike Show YouTube channel, too, because we were even less there. This has gone really far afield.
I'm sorry,
you were saying
Chablis. No, you had Chablis on the show, and you were just explaining to me, she's salt of the earth, she's the sweetest girl. And
the acts you're talking about which were deemed prostitution-level offenses, mm-hmm. which were nudity, which mm-hmm. were fondling. There are regulations against that, and they made those clear in this new ordinance that the ladies of bikini barista employment can wear as much as they want to, I should say. I'm getting a little flustered here as I'm thinking about the stand.
It's an interesting topic for sure.
But there were acts, and you mentioned that the police were undercover that were coming to these stands that were witnessing, if not engaging in these. If I give you $20, what do I blah blah get to see?
Well, they gotta find out if they're doing it, right?
But these were the outliers. I bring up our former guest, the former
Chablis,
employee Chablis. I'm never gonna remember anything else. Because she made it pretty clear that those were outliers in the industry, and there were far too many.
Yeah,
even from anybody's perspective, even hers. But for the most part, she felt it was a safe place to work.
Good, that's
it was
great.
A flirtatious place to work, but no more so than any place where you go and have an attractive bartender or an attractive waitress, and there's flirtation.
I'm not trying to.
I'm not trying
to harp on the industry. Listen, like I don't have daughters, but if I did, obviously that's this is a great avenue for them.
Well,
if they want to work at a bikini barista stand,
it's not our
more
goal.
Power to them.
It's not where we didn't send her to bikini barista tech to learn the trade, right? But I wouldn't deny them. I mean, it was funny because you have to walk this line of how do you deny this person the ability to make an income, a good earnings?
Sure.
This our guest was making $800 on a 3-day work week.
What?
Yeah, through tips.
$800 a week,
and never felt unsafe or pressured or uncomfortable with the regulars that came through the line of their coffee stand.
I don't know if you knew this, but I used to work at a coffee place. Did you know that? It was my first job. One of my first jobs.
A barista?
A million jobs. Yeah, as a barista. I'm not going to tell you my stage name. But I worked at a coffee house. And, you would make okay tips.
Okay,
but on a good day, we would maybe split $30. And there'd be like four of us on the shift. So we'd be like, all right, we're each going to go home with like $7 extra.
Right.
And then you factor it into whatever you make an hour. You're like, hey, I'm making $9 an hour. Pretty sweet. Little did I know that if I had just walked in wearing, the male, I guess they sell mankinis, right? Don't they sell male bikinis? I guess that would be a Speedo.
It would be a Speedo. That'd be a great name for a coffee stand. That'd be a great stand. You imagine if you put it up.
And why don't they have guy versions of this? Like if this works so well, why don't they have a guy version of this? Call it Hot Shots.
Hot Shots is good. How about Limberjacks?
Where
the guys wear like a flannel shirt but tied in a knot at the midriff.
Love it.
Some really super short Daisy Duke type denim shorts for the guys.
Think
right?
of all the extra money that those salt of the earth fellas could make
right.
at one of these stands.
School drop off.
Do you
hey
think
mom?
Do you
Come
think like yeah, soccer moms would
yeah.
would go to these types
you
of
bet.
Places?
Yeah, just of
like,
course they would.
Just minivans around the block.
There would be a line.
I bet
there
would.
There was a male barista's place on Capitol Hill for a while.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. Here's the example. Did it work? Are they gone?
They are gone.
So maybe.
But that might have been a COVID casualty, I think.
Dang it. See?
Yeah. Pandemic just killed everything.
All
great.
The good stuff.
Yeah. That's a shame.
Regarding the story up in Everett, the ladies are allowed to wear what they want at their bikini barista stands, but the lewd behavior acts are going to be monitored and enforced in the city of Everett.
They identify those areas as minimum body parts.
Right.
And they say like, and I don't need to describe to you what a minimum body part is, but it's certain areas that they have to make sure those stay covered at all times. If those don't stay covered, then the stands, as I understand it, they actually are going to be, they could get, not only could they get heavily fined.
Yeah.
but they, you know, could be shut down.
Could lose their license as well.
They could lose their license. And so, you know, nobody wants that. And again, so these are just jumping off points for great careers.
Yeah. And ladies who, the lady who was in, Chablis.
Chablis.
Which I kind of love it. Also worked as a stripper, as an adult dancer.
That is surprising.
You know, yeah.
I'm surprised by that. Did she do it at the same time? I mean, like, I'm not saying she was stripping in the...
I hear you. I'm not sure if the careers crossed over or she went from one to the other.
Do you remember Laura? Was she
dancing and pouring coffee simultaneously?
Not simultaneously, but you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
Day and night.
Day job, night job.
I don't know if she specified. It sounded like the stripping came after for her.
So her gateway was... Hot Shots Coffee, it's called.
Bikini baristas is a gateway to stripping.
And then
see
she
what
moved
done
to
here?
Stripping, which is, I guess, the natural path if you're going to work at a bikini barista stand. I don't know that. I'm just saying.
I don't either.
Like,
you're assuming.
No, I'm not. I mean, like, I'm just saying that, like, if I had to, like, look at a Venn diagram where things cross, I would assume that it's not far-fetched to think that somebody who works in a bikini barista stand might also find gainful employment.
Yeah, that. Yeah, yeah.
Doing whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm not making any judgments.
I didn't mean to infer judgments on your statement.
That's fine. So that's very interesting. So in Everett, if you're interested, you can still...
You don't have to go to Everett. They're everywhere.
They are everywhere. Here's another
quick
thing.
South of the city, all over the
place. I know we have a lot to get to, but do you guys find it interesting that these are, like, very regional? These are we have them here... And we don't have them. There's nowhere else. Like, you've been at other places. They don't have them. They look at you sideways. You go like, oh, do you guys have any? I was thinking about getting a coffee. Do you have any bikini barista
stands? Any place that's with scantily clad, attractive young women that can hand me the coffee because I have way too much tip money in my pocket and I want to lighten my
burden.
You go,
what are you talking about, weirdo? And you go, no, it's just a place where,
it's,
you know,
safe,
like,
friendly,
kind
clean.
Of a thing.
Salt of the earth. Yes, it's a real.
I think it's hilarious that it exists here because it's so cold.
I know.
You would think this would be a California novelty.
Something where people,
I kind of love that it's just ours. Like, that makes it feel more special,
more
fun.
It's definitely unique.
Yeah. Maybe a little more goofy, you know, like tongue-in-cheek.
Well,
right.
That's
don't go anywhere.
All right, let's go to the cities of Tukwila and the cities of Burien, which are going to be the benefactor of over $3 million in grant money from King County to help deal with their homeless situations, those experiencing homelessness.
Yeah.
I've been trying to be a better vernacular descriptor of those people who are experiencing homelessness.
Okay.
The homelessness issue in America is coast to coast. It's not just in the Great Northwest like the bikini baristas are. And Burien's interactions with the homeless community of late have been the stuff of news stories on an almost weekly basis, given the fact that their sheriff won't enforce what they deem an unconstitutional law in Burien, fighting with King County itself about enforcing. There's been talk amongst the city council of Burien of getting rid of the police chief of Burien.
Burien basically had a law that they said you cannot camp on the sidewalks between such and such a time.
Right. I think it was 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. I think was the parade. And those guidelines changed. The times changed.
Yeah. So it would force people to not be there during the daylight hours where people, you know, you could assume that those sidewalks are going to be mostly used during the daytime.
Right.
And folks were very upset that Burien was doing this. I actually thought that was a pretty reasonable approach to, you know, ask people to not stay. I mean, demand that people can't block a sidewalk. There's a lot of people who have, disabilities that need to use those sidewalks to get around.
Yeah, even more so. Anybody who pays taxes in the community ought to be expected to be able to go walk the sidewalks unencumbered by people in tents or people carrying their wares in bags or whatever it might be. The problem with that is that the federal guidelines say that if you're going to keep people from camping in public, you have to offer them a place of shelter. And Burien has not provided that. That's why the sheriff's department says, I can't enforce this law because it's going to get the city of Burien in a bunch of lawsuits because by federal stature, you have to provide accommodations. You can't just make your homeless problem some other community's issue by shooing them from your community to theirs. That's why the requirement for shelter is there. And Burien has had numerous opportunities, $1 million in a small housing money that they haven't decided where to put even yet, and it's been like 6 months, I believe. Well, now they've got even more money, $3 million between the cities of Tukwila and Burien from King County to help facilitate a solution.
And this is a
problem.
New million, not the old million.
This is a new $3 million.
And this is going to go, and I actually think this is a good thing that they're going to use it for. I'm not a huge proponent of just letting people camp wherever they want.
I don't think you're either.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is who's a reasonable thinking person about it. But what Burien is going to get, they're going to get $1 million, and that money, they say, will go to Mary's Place, which is one of the largest family shelters providers in the region. which is actually like, that's one of the things that I have complete empathy for, is that somebody finds themselves in a situation where they can't, you know, keep their family indoors.
Right.
And like, no child should experience homelessness. No child should be on the street.
Absolutely not. And the numbers are far worse than what we even know about.
I am happy as a taxpayer that as much money as they want to throw at that issue for families is something that I'm totally fine with. I think where I, and probably some people in Burien, started running into the issue is when you start talking about doing homeless encampments for people who don't have any plans on getting off the street. And when you offer them help, don't really want help and don't want to get off the street. That's where you go like, okay, well, what are we spending our money on? If these people don't want to get off the street, we're just providing them an area. We're spending a lot of money on them. Let's help the people who want the help. Let's not help the people who want to stay in this situation.
Well, I would put out there that the people who don't want help probably are suffering from mental health issues or drug addiction issues.
In many, many cases,
Yes. And I think I'm with you about helping people in of a third of the homeless population is there because of financial difficulties, which means that the other two thirds are there between addiction issues and mental health issues. And I think those issues are no less important or less deserving of our help and compassion than someone who's having economic issues. So, I mean, as much money as we put into affordable housing or temporary shelters, we should put equal amounts of money into drug treatment policies and mental health help assessments.
I think 100%. Let's give people the help that they need. Because, you know, drug addicts aren't seeing things clearly.
Absolutely.
They're not going to be able to get the help they want because they can't see it clearly. But if you have a finite amount of resources in an area like Burien, and you have a, you know, area that's really, really booming with homelessness right now.
As everywhere
like,
is.
I totally understand why they want to take a very, like, specific approach to who they're going to be able to help.
As far as families.
Like, start with the families.
Yeah.
That's
here,
great.
Here, yeah. There's a story in Everett. It involves a well-known motel chain, Motel 6. Now, three different Motel 6s have been charged with helping and harboring human trafficking. And these, and we're running out of time because we spend so much time on bikinis. We'll wrap this story up a little bit later. We'll get back to it. But they're being sued. Motel 6, the parent group, G6, is being sued.
For sex trafficking.
For sex trafficking. For looking the other way, if not knowing.
Here's an exit question for you before we go to the break.
Okay.
Was this story surprising to you?
No.
No.
Not, I don't think, at all. The fact that it's shocking and disappointing and saddening, but not surprising that people have looked the other way when it comes to human
trafficking. I wasn't surprised by it either, especially in the area that they're saying this happened. I just went, I've driven by that. I totally understand.
It's the Jack and Spike Show with Jake Skorheim. Well done, my friend. When we come back, we'll talk about the University of Washington football player who is now facing charges of rape and why he was allowed to continue playing when the allegations were initially made. It's an interesting story. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Jack and Spike. Check out exclusive digital content by subscribing to the Jack and Spike Show on YouTube.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Jake Squire, I'm in for Jack Stein today. Jake, I'm glad to have you along. Had a little fun last time, but now we're going to turn our attention to a story that deserves all the seriousness that we can bring to it. I don't mean to be bringing everybody down, but it's the story of Husky football player Tylan Rogers, who yesterday pled not guilty to two charges of second and third degree rape involving students at the university, other universities in the area.
Yep.
They were not UW students, the two women who are accusing the Husky running back of rape allegations. Now, this story has got a lot of the interest and concern of the Northwest because it's been evolving for a number of months. Rogers is maybe third or fourth on the Husky running back depth chart. So he's not a star of the team, but he's an important part of the team's offense.
And he's young.
He's a young kid.
Yeah.
Rogers was suspended from the team for off-field activities during the fall camp of the Huskies, which means he didn't play in the first two regular season games of the year. He then came back to the team. The allegations against Rogers, the first was from a young woman made in October. The second allegation, second incident of a rape allegation came in November. This is a stage where Rogers was suspended from the football team, and he actually missed the Pac-12 championship game on December 1st. Rogers was then allowed to return to the team and played in both the national semifinal and national championship games in January. Fast forward to earlier this month when the investigation had come full circle and charges were brought against this young man. And I guess, as I mentioned earlier, he was released on bail after pleading not guilty to the charges. And
I think
he
the bail was set at $150,000.
I think $150,000 was
for each case.
Per incident. Raja says he will fight every inch of these false claims, as is everyone's right in this country to have be presumed innocent until proven guilty. The questions that are being asked by so many people, and not just the sports arena, but the community itself, parents, everybody involved, is why was this young man allowed to play for the team after these allegations had been brought to the attention of the university? And why was he allowed to play once he'd been suspended and brought back?
Yeah, what was the reason that this, because it certainly looks like the school, for whatever, I mean, they decided not to play him in the Pac-12 championship.
Right.
But then when they get to the national championship, then he gets to play. And the playoff game
in
the playoff, the national championship.
Yeah, against Texas, then against Michigan in those two
Here's
games.
A question for you, though, because when we saw this, we've been looking at this story for a couple days now. Is it okay for the school to play him when these are just allegations? Because, you know, we do live in a society where you're, you know, innocent until you're proven guilty.
Right.
And also, you know, there's a consideration that you want to believe people when they tell you things. So for the two women that accused him of rape, you definitely don't want to sideline them and say like, oh, well, what you're saying is not valid. And it very well may be. I don't know yet.
Right.
They seem to follow everything that you would assume they would do if they were taking it seriously. They both had the rape kits done. So they were not just, you know, this wasn't like 25 days after they had some interaction that they decided to come forward with this.
Right.
But this is also a young man who, if these allegations were not true,
right,
then his life could be ruined based on false accusations. Now we don't know what happened yet.
Right. We don't know.
And so do you keep him from playing, or do you let him play and let the process play out in court as it's designed to do?
Right. Let the allegations be investigated. Let the police gather evidence, testimony from witnesses, whatever it may take.
What do you feel about that? How would you approach it?
It's a difficult situation because we have the benefit of hindsight looking back on some of the things we're discovering now. The fact that when Rogers was suspended from the team and missed the Pac-12 championship, there were emails and texts sent to the university saying, why is this boy not being allowed to play? Why is this young man off the field? And through the investigation after the fact, the responses always came by way of telephone call from the university officials.
Yeah, you're right.
To
nothing
these
in writing.
Inquiries. Nothing was in writing, in hindsight, doesn't look good. But I'd said to a couple people around the office in the last couple of days that there is nothing more valuable in this country, I think, than your right to due process. You know, the innocent until proven guilty. And to your point you made a moment ago, here's a young man who's, you know, he's going to college to play football. He's using football to get an education. Take away his ability to play football, it may take away his ability to get an education. Maybe he wants to be pro someday. And if you sideline a kid through what may be the most important games of his young career in a national championship playoff game, whatever. I'm not trying to mean that the game is more important than the facts or justice to these two alleged victims.
No one's saying that.
It's a difficult thing to say. I think the university made the right decision when the allegations were made. Initially, say, until we know more, you're not playing. Okay, we found out what's going on. The complaints were filed through Title IX of the NCAA's process, and Title IX, most people know it about, you know, making sure that girls' sports have enough funding, but it's also making sure that all athletes, especially female athletes, have protections and funding and all the things that are involved with every student athlete, what they should have, so that women get the same equal fair treatment as male athletes.
Sure.
I think the university made the right call in until we know more, until these allegations are, until there's enough to bring charges, until investigations have been completed, to sideline this young man from his opportunities would be, they'd felt unfair to do so to him.
Do you find it curious that the university brought him back for the last two games? The national championship.
I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth here for a minute. And I know that sounds very disingenuous.
No, I mean,
undermine both sides, but what I'm trying to say in both directions.
Yeah, we're trying to, you know, we're talking about all sides of the arguments.
Yeah, I think it's important that the young man was given due process and allowed to not be sidelined from a very important moment in his life just because of allegations. That being said, if this team was 2-9 and not going anywhere, they may not have felt it imperative to bring him back. The opportunity missed might not have been as great for this young man.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Huskies found themselves during that period in time when this guy was accused and suspended for the Pac-12 championship. This is a moment of unprecedented success and attention for the Washington Husky football team. They were playing for a national championship. You know, they probably erred on the side of, how can we put the best product on the field? How can we, you know, not diminish our chances to win a game because we don't know what happened. I'm sure that how could that not have been a factor in their decision making whether or not to allow him to return?
I mean, that's
for those playoffs and the championship games.
That's certainly what it seems like.
It does, and I don't know how I feel about. And I'm a Husky fan. I you know, full disclosure, I work for the Washington Husky Athletic Program.
Oh, did you? I didn't know.
I have for a number of years, and I do just announcing stuff, public address stuff. For the Husky program. So, I mean, it's a very peripheral job, but I've got a vested interest and a real compassion and passion for Washington sports.
I guess my take on this story is a little bit informed by my time working in the NBA. I worked for the Seattle Sonics for 4 years.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that this is what these girls did at all. And I'm not saying their names because I don't want to bring any, like, I don't want to assume anything about them at all.
Right.
But I have seen many, many times when I was working with professional athletes that they live a different type of life. When you have a lot of attention on you, especially when you are a highly achieving athlete, people are really available to you. And I have seen also many stories where allegations are made, especially against pro athletes, where those things maybe didn't turn out to be true. And it could be a vendetta because they're not happy with maybe a relationship status or something like that. I'm not saying that's the case here.
Not at all. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
But it's the reason why. Because this is a young guy, because he hasn't made any money doing this.
Right.
Because the ability to play college football is such a thing. I mean, so difficult to do.
It is.
To play for a Division I school. He obviously has worked very hard to get there.
Yeah, it's an opportunity that he's earned, and it's a rare opportunity.
And so to take away that before all the facts are in, before the police have done their investigation... If he's guilty, you need to lock him up.
Agreed.
And you need to throw away the key for as long as they need to.
Yeah.
But until we know whether or not the allegations are true, I would want to err on the side of caution and, you know, let the guy... I could see a version where you let him continue to play until the police say he's been proven guilty.
Yeah. And I'd also put forth, just to keep, you know, as a reference point, athletes live privileged lives. You know, even college athletes have privileged lives.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, big time.
You know, and I'm not saying that means that young man's guilty, but there are, you know, oftentimes on the course of an athlete's life, if you get to the highest level, people look the other way when you do stuff.
They give you a lot of grace, sometimes way more than you're deserving.
Agreed. So when we come back, we're going to talk about something. We wonder if anybody even cares about it. I know it seems like a bad reason to bring a topic to the air.
I'll tell you what. I care. Answer your question.
You do care?
Yeah.
I find it hard to care. But we're going to bring in our special. We're going to bring Nate Connors on.
Good.
The station's royal correspondent. Our number one royal correspondent.
Royal watcher.
So we're going to talk about Harry and Meghan and whether or not you care. It's the Jack and Spike Show.
Yeah, you do.
With Jake Skorheim. We're right back.
From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Jake Skorheim in for Jack Stein today. So it's been a difficult stretch for Britain's royal family.
Yeah.
The Queen finally succumbed, passed last year, and I didn't think the woman would ever. I thought she was going to hold on for eternity.
Well, I thought she would pass away eventually, but yeah.
She had a pretty good run. Pretty great run.
Yeah.
And then there's King Charles, who now is fighting cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Middleton is fighting cancer. I don't even want to get into the Prince Andrew fiasco of Epstein Island. It's been a tough run.
He brought that on himself. Yeah.
He really did.
Yeah.
But now it seems that the one royal that was above, not even above scandal, but Harry's had trouble too. He and Meghan, unwelcome, moved to the Vancouver, right?
Yeah, they left the royal family. Official duties were
gone.
Separated their duties from the royal family, and they decided to come stateside. We have them,
and we have them forever. So it's now for the first time ever, Prince Harry has said he no longer lives in the UK, his primary residence, the United States of America.
Nice.
For the first time ever, Prince Harry is a permanent resident of the United States of America.
Oh, man, isn't that a proud thing? Aren't you proud? Don't you feel good?
Boo.
I don't care.
Do you care?
I can't. I care. I remember watching Charles and Diane's wedding.
Yeah.
The international, you know, every little girl's dream.
I've seen it.
Princess.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful thing. It was magical. And I've seen The Crown. I didn't watch the whole season, but I've seen a couple episodes of The
fantastic.
Crown.
The Crown's fantastic. If anybody's interested in The Royals, or if you're not, it's just good television.
Good acting, good drama, well-written,
production
well-acted,
quality, yeah. Just like highest. It's very, very expensive, beautiful series. Beautiful
it's
series.
It's nonfiction, though, right? I mean, it's not like...
No, it's
literally based on events.
Yeah, it's based on the royal family. It's based on all of their most famous events.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's fictionalized drama, right? It's dramatized reality.
Yeah, it's dramatized reality.
Yeah.
Have we introduced Nate Connors yet?
Oh, Nate Connors, our top royal correspondent.
Yeah.
The pulse of the streets here at Kairos, Nate Connors. We want to ask you, do people care? Because, I mean... Jake is invested in the Royals. He's a fan of the Royals. I can't bring myself to care.
I've been a fan of the Royals, but I will say it's been sad to see them kind of crumble over the past, decade or so?
Okay.
But I've never been a fan of Harry. And to me, he seems like a spoiled brat. I mean, what is he, fifth in line for the throne or something to that effect?
Third now. Charles.
Oh, is he third
Charles
now?
Charles William. Okay. Well, but at the time.
No, he's not even in line. I mean, Prince William has kids. So...
Oh, now he's out.
Well, Harry's he's an afterthought, right? He's Spare. That's the name
the
of his
Spare.
Book.
His book was Spare. The Spare. And so I guess George is the youngest, right?
Yeah, but or Prince William's got like a couple. He's got three kids. Right?
Yeah,
so Prince Harry's
two
way
boys
down
and a girl.
Okay,
yeah, but
not,
I know
it's
the
not
oldest,
happening for him.
I know the oldest is George, so I guess I do care.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you guys.
Yeah.
So Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, they move over here to the United States. They now have started this thing called American Riviera Orchard. They're going to start selling jars of jam. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
I've heard this.
Have you seen this?
Really?
Yeah.
Meghan
Royal jelly, one might say.
Royal jelly. That's right. Is that a brand?
No, it's what bees make, I think.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't know that. These aren't bees making this.
This is them. They got a jelly. Yeah, they got a jam line.
They got a jam line. And not only that, they're also going to be, Meghan Markle is going to start hosting a cooking show on Netflix. She's going to start.
Really?
Yeah. It's all about like her life and food and, you know, family and
farming.
Is
she cooking or is she introducing people who cook?
No, she's going to be cooking.
Okay.
And so... The interesting thing I find about this, like number one, apparently they're not actually filming at their house. They're filming at somebody else's farm, at somebody else's kitchen.
Oprah's.
No, it's not Oprah's, but it is somebody else in Montecito, who is also phenomenally wealthy. I think one of their neighbors, because they live in Montecito, which is nice.
Yeah.
Mm. They're not like slumming it over here in the United States. But it's a nice place. They're going to do this thing. But whenever I talk about Harry...
Harry and Meghan?
Harry... Sussex, is that his last name?
Yeah.
He was the Duke of Sussex.
I guess
it's Windsor is their last name officially?
I think that's a castle, right? I think it's
Sussex. I think it was the family name.
I think
it is the family name. I mean, his actual name doesn't have a last name. It's all a bunch of first.
I mean, Styles, if I'm not mistaken. Harry Styles. No, that's a different Harry.
No, that's a singer.
I'm sorry.
That's close.
Different Harry.
One Direction. But anyway, and I think his grandfather's name was Mountbatten. So there's some legal thing there.
Okay.
I don't understand it. Doesn't matter. Harry and Meghan, we know who we're talking about. But Harry and Meghan, every time I talk about them, every time I see a story about them, I kind of like throw it to my wife because I feel like she's a royal watcher. She really was interested. She's like in the perfect prime zone.
Okay.
When she was young, Prince William and Prince Harry were also young.
Yeah.
So I think she had like posters on her walls of them and stuff.
Weird.
And I don't know. I'm kind of jealous. And so I don't really like them anymore. But... Every time
you
I mention,
you look a lot like him. She married the closest thing she could get, I think.
I have less money and more hair, so I think that's probably more. And I'm almost the same age.
Yeah.
But every time I mention them, my wife now she just kind of like rolls her eyes. And there's I think that's what everybody kind of does when you say talking about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They just kind of roll their eyes. I think you can audibly hear it. What is that? Like, why are people doing that? Is it Nate, as a royal watcher?
Yeah, I'm a royal. I've been watching these guys
staring at royals
because to me it seems like they weren't getting the attention that they wanted over in the UK, and there was some alleged racism going on.
There's been reports of old school racism. The nickname that Prince Philip had for Meghan Markle is not airworthy.
So to at least to say that they weren't having a good time over there.
Yeah.
And now they come over to America. It seems like they're almost demanding attention.
Do you feel like there's an entitlement, which is a strange word to say about a prince?
But of course there is. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, but I think it's entitlement over there, not over here.
Quick question for Laura. Do you roll your eyes when you see a story about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle?
Yes. And you know what I think it is that when you take them out of the royal context, now we're questioning their celebrity entirely, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Like, why should I care
why
about
do
these
we care
people?
That she
why
gets
do we care
in
about
someone
any...
else's kitchen and someone else's farm and makes her own
why
jelly?
Why do we care about any of the royals, but then once they're gone, are they even celebrities anymore?
Yeah.
No, but Hare is a U.S. citizen today. That's right.
Well, he's residency. Primary residency.
That's a difference.
There's a big controversy over his visa status, actually. People want to find out, like, you know, obviously we talked about this many times. It's very difficult to get into this country unless your name is Harry. So, like, how do you get in? And how long can he stay?
And is the Canadian border as secure as we want it to be? That's what we're asking today, right?
Well, let's send him back to Canada.
Okay. Nate, thank you very much. Nate
Connors. My pleasure.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Go back to watching Royals.
I will.
I'll
get back to you.
There you go. When we come back, the Nate's sorry, that's been, wow. The Jack and Spike Show. A little bit of a time warp there. When we get back, let's talk about what happened in New York today as the Trump trial now has a full cast of jurors and alternates, but more important, with some protest in the streets of New York. We'll have that and lots more. Don't go anywhere.